claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
November 9th, 1989. History is made. The Berlin Wall falls. Years pass. Decades end. A new century is born. In 2021, one wall remains at Revolution Radio. The wall between Studio A, the Wisdom Circle, and Studio B, the Raw Deal. The wall falls. History is made. Wisdom Circle plus Raw Deal equals the event. James Fetzer. David Scorpio. Giuseppe Baffangolo. History is made. And now, the event.
What the heck is going on?
What the heck?
What
Jim?
Was that? Try it again, Jim. That sounded like you were a Cylon from Wow.
No, it's not working.
Try again, Jim. Maybe drop out and come back in. Welcome to the event. This is Giuseppe. The good professor is having some technical challenges right now. We're joined by David Scorpio and the brilliant Susan Lindauer. Susan has some breaking news, shocking news about a literal felony theft at the federal level of billions of dollars, possibly trillions of dollars. And her team, well, she'll tell you, Susan, welcome to the event. How are you today?
Hi, guys. This actually is big news that should be on Fox News and all the major networks. But of course, we're going to break it here, and it's going to take a while for the big news to catch on. But believe me, this is a story that is not going to go away. My team has been recovering stolen federal monies. You'll know me from my work in Iraqi pre-war intelligence and how I had a big fight with the feds. Well, after that, the Pentagon wanted to move beyond the recriminations on Iraqi pre-war intelligence and 9/11. So they offered me an operation. It was an operation to investigate and recover stolen Pentagon monies by the man, the same man who stole the $2.3 trillion that was disclosed by Donald Rumsfeld the day before 9/11. My team knows where that money is. We have the capability to make a run on that money, okay? But what I'm going to talk about today, what was not known to the public is that the same guy also stole a lot of other monies. He stole 200 Pentagon accounts valued at $400 billion, and he stole $1 trillion, or he stole treasury notes, which he invested in derivatives, cashed out of derivatives in 2005, put onto time deposit until 2015. And it was in 2015 that I jumped in and we filed with the Justice Department to make a seizure of that money, plus $18 billion stolen CIA drug money. Now, that in itself would be news, okay? But that's not the story today. The story is that when we filed this to the Justice Department, we filed it to the office by law. We filed all the requirements according to the law. Every requirement was obeyed. Okay, so we filed it to the office of newly nominated Attorney General Loretta Lynch. And when it arrived at the at the Attorney General's office, and FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe had a conversation with Terry McAuliffe, who was then the campaign co-chair for Hillary Rodham Clinton running for president of the United States. And Terry McAuliffe and Andrew McCabe had conversations exactly synchronized to the arrival of our funds, of our briefing on these stolen funds. This was confirmed by the FBI, okay? The FBI confirmed it. So this is not my supposition. The FBI confirmed this. They had conversations about the newly recovered stolen money, and they just had to wait for it to come in. And when it came in October, Terry McAuliffe jumped in and grabbed newly recovered stolen federal money. And he stole it and he gave kickbacks. He did in a money laundering scheme. It was thievery, money laundering through his Common Good Virginia PAC, stealing newly recovered Pentagon monies and laundering it through his PAC in Virginia, and making payoffs to Andrew McCabe's wife, who was running for state senator in Virginia against a man by the name of Senator Richard Black. Now, she lost her election, but the action of doing that is thievery, money laundering, and they did it using a drug trafficker you will all know, CIA bad boy, Chip Tatum. Chip Tatum signed for the payments on October 24th. So the conversation planning this theft occurs March 2015. Same week my papers arrived. The FBI confirmed it. On October 24th, Chip Tatum signs for the documents. I have proof of that. I had a Skype conversation with him that night. Chip Tatum knew the first name, middle name, and last name of the federal inmate who I was dealing with to get the money. We were stealing it back from the thief is what we were doing. It was a big deal. And I'll come back to what this money is in a minute. But on October 24th, Chip Tatum signs for it. The FBI has confirmed on October 25th, Hillary Clinton and Lockheed Martin make a massive payoff to Terry McAuliffe. On October 27th and October 29th, Terry McAuliffe pays Andrew McCabe's wife, who is overseeing Hillary Clinton's FBI investigation of her pay-to-play scams. So this is a direct payoff. This is the real reason why Andrew McCabe was fired from the FBI. It wasn't just a little mistake. This was actual thievery, money laundering, and bribery. It is total shock that Joe Biden has given Andrew McCabe, Joe Biden and Merrick Garland have given Andrew McCabe his pension back because Terry McAuliffe was conspiring to receive stolen monies, okay? And they all know it. Now, one of the things that happened as we were going forward with this great investigation, we were doing this amazing thing. At the time, Vice President Joe Biden, his chief of staff received 8 briefings on our work, on our captures. We're very proud of it. It's a big deal to bring in $1 trillion and $80 billion. When the $80 billion came in on October 24th and Chip signed for it, the first week of November, the House of Representatives voted to allocate $40 billion to pay the entire Department of Homeland Security budget for 1 year. That's how much this was. This was the entire budget for the Department of Homeland Security for 1 year, starting October 31st, moving through the next year cycle of 2016. And when the $1 trillion came in, it came in blocks, five blocks of $200 billion. And Terry McAuliffe illegally, fraudulently received payments two more times. So he gets paid on October 24th, confirmed for the $80 billion, fronting Chip Tatum to sign for it. The next payment is 2018, using Chip Tatum. Chip Tatum gets paid again. We know Chip Tatum gets a marina in Ecuador at that point. And the third payment is in December 2020, January 2021 for Terry McAuliffe. And Terry McAuliffe is using stolen federal money in this election cycle. Okay, it is illegal. It is not a small crime. It is a major crime. This is grounds for this guy to go to prison for 30 years. The guy who stole it originally has been in prison since 1999. And he has said repeatedly, anybody stealing his money should go to prison and join him in his prison cell. Okay, this is like, this guy's like, when Leo Wanta tried to say that he had that $2.3 trillion, he knew where it was and he had it. He was like playing games with people. This federal inmate knew that Leo Wanta was claiming credit for his crime. He's like, he should come here to my prison cell and I'll go live in his life and he can come live in mine, since he's bragging that he's the one who took this money. Okay, he should be in prison instead of me. That was the reaction of this prison inmate.
Wow.
This is a very dangerous man. He is a Chinese agent. It is his intention to give all of this money, the $2.3 trillion plus earnings, plus the 200 stolen Pentagon accounts. Now realize the money was stolen in 1998-99. So when the money was stolen, it was a lot less. But after 20 plus years, it's grown exponentially.
Right.
So now those 200 stolen Pentagon accounts are valued in excess of $400 billion. Okay, think about that. Plus the $2.3 trillion is no longer $2.3 trillion. That, wait for it, guys, is the $21 trillion that Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez was looking for a couple of years ago. Now, at that point, I stayed down. I kept my head low and did not I wanted to tell everybody so badly. But at that point, I wanted to make a run on the $21 trillion. And so Trump was very lackadaisical about it. And did not organize to make the seizure as fast as he needed to. And then the following year, the Democrat, that was in 2017, I file a criminal complaint. I did not wait. I screamed bloody murder behind the scenes. Okay, so in July 2017, I file a criminal complaint to Attorney General Jeff Sessions. That is investigated. The FBI confirms all of this. But the $1 trillion actually paid for the tax cuts. It was really cool. They'd already gotten one block of $200 billion in, and there was four more blocks that were going to come in. And I went to at that point, the Republicans were in power. So I went to the Republican Senate leaders and the Republican House leaders on the Finance Committee and the Judiciary Committee, the Intelligence Committee. And I said, this money is available to pay for these Trump tax cuts. And it was really cool because they all came back from, everybody was really pessimistic. We're not going to have, we can't afford this tax cuts. Can't do it. And on when they came back, I said, on Monday, I said, yes, you can, because we have this money. And the Democrats had not told the Republicans about this money. They didn't really know about it. Okay. So I told them on a Monday. There was immediate reaction. Tuesday, there's a big meeting behind closed doors. And all these people who'd walked in said, we can't, who'd gone away for Thanksgiving saying, we can't have these tax cuts. It's ridiculous. We can't afford it. We cannot pay for this. Tuesday, they come in and they have this closed door meeting and they all come out like, we're going to have these tax cuts. Oh my God, we're going to have these tax cuts. On Wednesday morning, without any explanation, the U.S. Treasury announces that they've got $1 trillion to pay for the tax cuts. This is my money. And on Thursday, the Federal Reserve says, yep, we've got $1 trillion to pay for the tax cuts. My money. Okay. So you can thank me for helping Donald Trump pay for his tax cuts. That's where it comes from. But then, of course, once the money comes in, then Citibank, there's behind the scenes, there's action, and they get it back, but it moves rapidly. Once the Republicans knew that the $1 trillion was there, they move on it. Whereas the Democrats were going see, this is the problem that we've got, guys. We have these Pentagon slush accounts. That's what they call them, slush accounts. And money like this automatically goes to the Pentagon unless it is stopped and pulled back and dedicated to something else. Otherwise, it automatically goes straight to MacDill. And I'll tell you, all of you love the military so much. The thievery at MacDill is beyond, it beggars belief. Like literally nobody thinks it's wrong to call up Chip Tatum and say, come down and sign for this money and we'll give you $20 million for your signature. And he didn't have anything to do with the seizure. Okay? He had nothing to do with the seizure. But it was the first $80 billion was from his old CIA operation, Operation Red Rock, from selling cocaine, transporting cocaine out of Colombia, and Operation Red Rock Dragon, bringing in the cocaine from Vietnam. Okay, this is the CIA drug money. And isn't it interesting that Terry McAuliffe knew how to find Chip Tatum? I have an NYPD detective friend who's been looking at all this stuff, giving me advice on how much I should reveal and what I have to hold back. There's some things I cannot tell you that I know you want to know, and I know the answers, and I can't tell you, like the inmate's name. There's a reason why he's extremely dangerous, and he's extremely gifted at hooking up with people outside prison and getting them to orchestrate theft off the U.S. Treasury. While he was inside prison, he stole $100 billion. And I, in my companion video, we show those checks. I have the checks and I have the proof they cleared. And what you don't understand is that's a federal inmate in prison for 10 years into his 30-year sentence. And he manages to pull that off. So this guy is so dangerous that once he connects with people outside prison, he can do all kinds of damage. And he is a former a Chinese agent. He has vowed to give all this money to China as soon as he's released from prison in June of 2025. And he's going to hand over the whole shebang to China. And anything that we have not captured will go to Beijing. And it is his goal, as punishment for putting him in prison for 30 years, he's vowed to eradicate, obliterate, smash the U.S. economy and forever install China as the ultimate superpower. And China's a great, big, huge economy that can absorb $21 trillion. And China will use it for its own global supremacy. So this is actually, we have to, I'm one of the reasons I'm coming out with this is it falls on Biden's watch to do anything about this money. It has to be done now. But you also need to realize the thievery at the out of the US Treasury, the thievery at the Pentagon is astronomical. It's so much worse than you realize. Even a federal inmate who's locked in prison can steal $100 billion and no one even checked. They just gave him the money. And we have the proof of that in the companion video. I hope you'll put the link to that in this so that people can look at and see. That's where you'll see the actual evidence. And here I'm just talking about it, but that first video is very important for you to know the evidence that's associated with this, because you can see it with your own eyes. It is indisputable. It happened. Okay. So coming to Terry McAuliffe now, you're talking about one of the biggest crooks in Washington. Three times he steals from the Treasury, stealing from a woman in Maryland. And my team, who's a guy in New York, who's working class guy, and the family of the third family member, third teammate is from Arizona, Kyrsten Sinema's constituent. He died in a Medicaid nursing home because that scumbag Terry McAuliffe robbed him of medicines that he needed for his expensive experimental treatments for his Parkinson's disease. And he dies years before he should. And if he'd had the medicines that he could have afforded, he could have paid for that medicine if Terry McAuliffe had not stolen our money. But he did take it. And so the guy dies. But his family are his daughters. And he's white. He's a white American, former attorney. But his daughters are married to Hispanic men in Arizona. And so they would be the ones receiving this payment. So think of it this way. Terry McAuliffe and the Democrats have stolen from a woman. And they've also stolen from Hispanic families who they brag about supporting. We all know how Democrats love to brag about their commitment to women's empowerment, and Terry McAuliffe is on TV bragging about, you know, I'm concerned about women's equality and raising income levels for women in the workplace. And, you know, and this is the guy, all those ads are paid for with money stolen from a woman and Hispanics. And so it makes a total lie of the Democrat devotion to women. It smashes it and obliterates it. Three times Terry McAuliffe stole from the payments owed to a woman, me, and that's how he gets the money. They take the reward payments that are supposed to be coming to my team, and when Chip Tatum signs for it, they give it all to him, and they give it to Lockheed Martin, they give it to Hillary Clinton, they give it to Terry McAuliffe, and Terry McAuliffe makes kickback payments, bribery to Andrew McCabe, and so it's a complicated web of money laundering, but it's very significant.
Wow, Susan, that is just a stunning admonitions and a reveal. And my question, and then I'll turn it over to Scorpio and then Jim. My question to you is, when do you think the Democrats turned into such criminals? I mean, when I was a boy, I just turned 62 in August. You know, Wisconsin had really clean Democratic government. Bill Proxmire, Gaylord Nelson, really decent guys. I met them both, and they went to Washington, and they worked for the people of Wisconsin. And now you've got this level of felony level criminality of stolen money. I mean, Terry McAuliffe is legendary as a Clinton bag man. You know, they installed him as the Democratic national chair to help steal the nomination from Bernie Sanders. I mean, the decades of Joe Biden's clumsy criminal activities to feather his nest has been documented by many people. When do you think the Democrats went off the rails and really turned into the traitors they are now?
Well, I think it starts with Hillary Clinton, and she had an enemies list that she wanted the FBI to investigate. This is a major red flag. We don't do that. We don't use the FBI as a personal weapon, personalizing weapons against your political opponents. And she's done that repeatedly. You have only to look at the Russia hoax in against Trump and how all these people, by the way, the payments from the FBI from stolen by Andrew McCabe and stolen by Terry McAuliffe. There's question whether Bruce Orr's wife, also Nellie Orr at Fusion GPS, also received some of this money, because all of this happens at exactly the same time. Now, the payment to Terry McAuliffe and Andrew McCabe is undeniable. They have the conversation in March. The FBI confirms it exactly the same week, synchronized exactly precisely to the week that my briefing papers are received for Attorney General Loretta Lynch. And they are not, at the time, the media said, well, gosh, why did they have the conversation in March and then they don't receive the money till October? No payoffs are made until October. That's because they had to wait for the money to arrive. And even though they identified it, they had to wait for it to get there. So October 24th, it comes in. October 25th, it goes to Terry McAuliffe. October 27th and 29th, it goes to Andrew McCabe's wife. It's still too late to make much of a difference. And Andrew McCabe's wife loses the election. You know, justice, poetic justice. But Terry McAuliffe has now figured out how to do this thief. This thievery. And so he does it again in 2018, which means that those Virginia, and the money is going through his PAC, his leadership PACs. Okay. That means that Abigail Spanbanger, who won in Virginia in 2018 and again in 2020, she very possibly should be investigated for receiving stolen federal monies. And in 2016, the other people's, this could turn out to be why this takes legs and just goes, is that it's not only Terry McAuliffe who got money, it's also Jean Shaheen in New Hampshire, who's running for the Senate of New Hampshire. Anna Cortez Mastos in 2016, running for Senator of Nevada. Okay. Deborah Ross, those are the two who won. Kamala Harris, okay? Kamala Harris receiving stolen federal money in her 2016 race for the Senate. Oh, yeah. What does that mean? What does that mean if Kamala Harris has received stolen federal money because of Joe Biden? And remember, and I realize this is hitting you guys, and I'm asking you to connect a lot of dots right now. And this is hard because you're hearing it for the first time. But always remember, Joe Biden's chief of staff receives 8 briefings on the stolen money. For the $80 billion and the $1 trillion while he's vice president. It happens in the last year of the last 8 or 9 months of the Obama Biden years. So it overlaps with Trump's victory in November, but Joe Biden gets 8 briefings on this stolen money and the recovery process. And then Terry McAuliffe shows up and steals it. Now, if I were Joe Biden and my chief of staff received 8 briefings, I would get as far away from Terry McAuliffe as possible. I would not go anywhere near Jerry McAuliffe. Jerry McAuliffe is a thief. He's a criminal. He is guilty of major crimes of thievery, money laundering, and bribery of law enforcement. Fact, he did it. That was stolen federal money that he used to pay Andrew McCabe. Terry McAuliffe is a scumbag crook. Joe Biden watched over the captures at exactly the moment that Terry McAuliffe is stealing the money. And then Terry McAuliffe goes on to continue his thievery twice more in 2018 and in the chaos of Trump's exit in December 2020 and January 2021, meaning Terry McAuliffe is very likely using stolen federal monies for his gubernatorial race. But the bigger, even the bigger issue is that Joe Biden knows about this thievery. Either he's horrified, in which case they should pay me tomorrow. If I were Joe Biden and I was watching this video, I'd be saying, you know what? We need to, I disavow, I didn't have anything to do with this damn Terry McAuliffe. Terry McAuliffe is a criminal. Put that son of a bitch in jail and pay this woman, because we are horrified that she's been robbed. We despise thievery. We despise this kind of corruption. That's what, if I was Joe Biden, I would immediately solve this problem. Because if he doesn't, what it means is that Joe Biden greenlighted the theft. He endorsed Terry McAuliffe's thievery. Top Democrats stealing from the Treasury from monies Vice President Joe Biden is watching over. And it's his chief of staff who's getting all the debriefings on this money. And it's coming in. And it is coming in. And then Hillary Clinton and Terry McAuliffe jump in and grab it and steal it. Either Joe Biden should be horrified and very, very angry, right? Furious. Or else he's part of it. In which case, what does that mean if the president of the United States, who's now president of the United States, is stealing from the Treasury? And if Joe Biden gave Kamala Harris stolen monies too. Is it possible that Kamala Harris should not ascend to the presidency if she's committed major crimes with Joe Biden in tandem, the two of them together? Okay. Are you tracking what I'm saying here?
Yes, it's stunning. I mean, my personal belief is Joe Biden is a career criminal. Scorpio, your thoughts and any questions for Susan?
Well, yes, Susan, thanks for coming on the show. I guess my first question would be, is there any way to verify any of this information?
The FBI's, yes, there's a companion video that will show the documentation. And also the FBI has verified it. This was investigated by the FBI. The timing, you can see why they're scared of it. The timing of the meetings with Terry McAuliffe and Andrew McCabe are established by the FBI. And the proof of the money coming in October 24th is established in the video, that the companion video. I have proof of the Skype conversation with Chip Tatum on that date. It was a 49-minute conversation, and that is recorded. And then the FBI and the FBI confirmed the October 25th payment, and Senator Richard Black and the Virginia Public Records Office have confirmed that Terry McAuliffe paid Andrew McCabe's wife on October 27th and October 29th. And the timeline for the first payment is completely confirmed. If we had a better attorney general, we could get the other payments as well. This investigation was done by the FBI and was completed by the FBI in 2017. There was closed door hearings on Capitol Hill in November and December of 2017. Andrew McCabe loses his pension and gets fired 2 days before he qualifies for his formal retirement benefits. And first the Democrats are like, oh, that's terrible to do to Andrew McCabe. And then all of a sudden everybody goes dark. And it's because even the Democrats were then exposed to why it was happening. And they knew that Andrew McCabe was so dirty and corrupt. DOJ has just gone off the tracks, off the rails. And Terry McAuliffe is the thief, a greedy, selfish thief. These are major crimes.
Well, I guess part of the thing I'm having here is that it seems to me like, you know, people that are connected to the Clintons, these globalist operatives seem to, part of the deal they're given by going along with the globalist agenda is they're given complete immunity for their crimes by the banking cabal and the people who sit atop the power structure. And, you know, the FBI seems to me has been a deeply, deeply corrupt organization since its inception. And J. Edgar Hoover was a deeply corrupt man, even denied the existence of the mafia for years. So I just don't have a whole lot of faith in anything the FBI is going to do. They seem complicit. They were complicit in 9/11. They've been complicit in covering up all kinds of crimes, including the Kennedy assassination. So I just don't see how, to think that they're going to do much of anything is a little naive.
They're not going to do anything. In fact, they were forced by the Republicans to fire Andrew McCabe. That's because Donald Trump was like, you're going to fire this guy. He's gone. He's got to go. But you see that Joe Biden has turned right around and said, oh, well, we're going to reinstate that pension. He's going to get his pension after all. Even though Joe Biden knows about the thievery. We've complained to Joe Biden about the thievery because I've been up there demanding that they have to pay us. They either have to show that they know that we did this. And I'll tell you in a minute what's happening in my life, because things are, financially for me, I'm in really a bad spot. I am, so I've gone up to the White House and I've said, you guys know that we are the ones who did this and you know you owe us money. And there's either two ways to look at this. We did it. Either you're horrified you're horrified that a woman and a family got robbed, or you did it. You green-lighted it and you're part of the conspiracy. But, Jim has said that nobody can impeach the president yet, but a year from now, when the Democrats are going to lose the Congress, that's a totally different matter. And what happens when it turns out that Joe Biden, God, I hope he does. I hope and pray that Joe Biden will have the decency, if not integrity, the decency to be ashamed of this and horrified by it, because we're suffering. I am in a foreclosure situation and looking at bankruptcy liquidation at exactly the moment that Terry McAuliffe is packing his bags with visions of sugar plums dancing in his head of moving into the governor's mansion over Christmas. Okay. And so while Terry McAuliffe is packing for the governor's mansion, I'm fighting not to become homeless. And I am not the slightest bit amused that a Democrat scumbag like Terry McAuliffe has robbed me three times. Once he got away with it, being a Democrat, he decided he would do it again. And so he did it again and again. He did it three times. And he did it twice under Trump. That's because the FBI and the Treasury Department, they're all, the swamp refuses to let it, the swamp rewards corruption, as we've just established. But if, a year from now, when the Republicans are back in the House, the control of the House and Senate, this is going to be a different matter of what happens then when it turns out Joe Biden has been complicit in a conspiracy to steal. And at this point, it's hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay, Chip Tatum got paid. He can deny it all he wants. I spoke with him on October 24th, and he knew the name of the inmate. First name, middle name, last name. And you can never take that back. I will know till the day I die that Chip Tatum received payment for our money. And on October 25th, Andrew McCabe, or Jerry McAuliffe gets paid by Hillary and Lockheed. And then on 27th and 29th, Jerry McAuliffe pays Andrew McCabe's wife. And there's also payments exactly at this point to Bruce Orr's wife, Nellie Orr, at Fusion GPS. So to me, this is pretty clear. At least the first payment and the first theft is well documented. And then they do it again and again. And it's like they won't stop. So now Biden is in the White House and he's in a very vulnerable position because the economy is tanking. Energy costs are skyrocketing and the whole crisis is accelerating. The United States is off the tracks. It's like there's no president in the White House at all. There's no president governing our country. And now there's going to be a big push after next year to get rid of him on the 25th Amendment. And when that happens, and Kamala Harris comes up for to move up from vice president to president, there's going to be a new push, a new examination of her corruption and her ties to Joe Biden's corruption. And if Joe Biden is a crook who's been stealing from the Treasury, then Kamala Harris receiving money because of Joe Biden's thievery raises serious questions whether she has the right to be president or not.
Jim Fetzer. Yes. Join in, Jim.
Susan, I have both an endorsement but also a reservation to share with you. I've known you for at least 5 years. I've been a huge fan and admired you. I've appeared on your show on Truth Frequency Radio, and I'm certain I've interviewed you before. What you're presenting here is sensational, but I believe everything you have said, and I'm familiar more so than Scorpio, for example, with the evidence about Terry McAuliffe and the swindle and the theft and Kamala and Biden. I believe all of that is 100% true. However, I've never heard you address Lee Wanta before. Let me say, I've known Lee Wanta for at least 5 years as well. We've had dozens of phone conversations. I've discussed him with others who have known him longer than I. Lee Wanta was Ronald Reagan's special ambassador to the Soviet Union. He negotiated the dissolution of the Soviet Union with Mikhail Gorbachev on behalf of the United States, for which he was given as the equivalent of a finder's fee that has now grown into a vast sum of trillions of dollars. He was kept from receiving his finder's fee by Dick Cheney and others who are, you know, totally corrupt, just as you are, I think, completely accurately describing McAuliffe, Biden, and others. But I tell you, Lee Wanta is as honest as the day is long. Susan, you let me finish. Okay. Lee Wanta, I'm telling you for a certainty, is as honest as the day is long, and I believe you've been played by this guy.
No.
Okay, we're going to have a difference then, Susan, but I'm not happy about that.
Lee Wanta has nothing to do with the $2.3 trillion.
Well, of course, I didn't say he did. I was explaining it. You did not, and this was unfair of you, explain who Lee Wanta was, that you just brought him in, that you brought him in. The way you did, Susan, in my opinion, was inexcusable, and I'm a supporter of you. But I also know Lee, and I know him personally.
I have heard, I have read, and the federal inmate has read statements from Lee Wanta teasing that he somehow has something to do with this $2.3 trillion.
Not the $2.3 trillion. I'm talking about a finder's fee for negotiating the dissolution of the Soviet Union.
Okay,
I don't believe Lee had anything to do with the missing $2.3.
Hold on. I have heard repeated statements, and I've investigated them for years, of Lee Wanta teasing that he somehow knows where that $2.3 trillion, listen, he does. He does say that. And I have caught him on it, and I've challenged him on it. And I told him to his face that he better stop claiming that he knows where that is, because he does not. And it's disinformation for Lee Wanta to pretend that he knows anything about that specific money. And the federal inmate knows that Lee Wanta has said that he claims it. And the federal inmate has said that if Lee Wanta wants to claim he's got some connection to the $2.3 trillion, that he needs to come share his prison cell. That's what the federal inmate, who's been in prison since 1999, has to say about it. And everybody in this audience will know that whatever you think about Lee Wanta personally, Lee Wanta, for several years, Lee Wanta teased that he had this money, that he knew where it was. He does not. Lee Wanta has nothing to do with this money. It is factually wrong that for him, and I've heard him do it. I've heard Lee Wanta do it. And I told him exactly what I just told you. If he wants to, now he's kind of changed his story, saying, well, it's a finder's fee and Dick Cheney won't give it to me. But hold on. But it is not the 2.3. Lee Wanta has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the missing $2.3 trillion disclosed by Secretary Rumsfeld the day before 9/11. I don't know who's got it.
Nor have I suggested he did. In fact, I don't believe he does. We're talking about apples and oranges. He's declared. We're talking about his finder's fee, which he was blocked from receiving, Susan,
after he had
negotiated the dissolution of the Soviet Union. There's no question about that whatsoever. He's been notified several times that he's going to finally be receiving his reward for that service. Now, this business about the 2.3, this is absolutely the first I heard of it.
He brought it up here today.
And I'm just going to say this by way of closing. I find it very difficult to believe that aspect, although I endorse all the other claims you're making.
For years, he claimed that he was connected to it. For years, he did, Jim. For years, he did. Now, what you have done is you have clarified what he claims he is entitled to. I don't know why Lee Wanta would be entitled to $1 because the Soviet Union dissolved.
Because he negotiated the dissolution, Susan. Why would you be entitled to $1 for anything you've done? It was a similar role.
Susan, you
really are ticking me off here. I got to tell you, this is not good. Well, I know this man. I've talked with him dozens of times. I've talked with people who've known him forever. In my opinion, and this put me in a very awkward position, I did not anticipate. I've never heard you allude to Lee Wanta before, and that you brought it up today was to me coming out of the blue, and I feel strongly I need to speak up on behalf of a man that I believe is an honest broker. And I think the same of you, Susan, but that you have been played. That has been my inference.
Money. Lee Wanta has not recovered any money. I went out, I did a deep investigation into stolen federal money. I found out where it was, and I figured out how to get it back. That's why I am entitled to payment. Lee Wanta has not brought in any money. The fact that the Soviet Union broke down and dissolved and does not entitle him to any cash, just like it does not entitle him to any cash.
Susan, this was a contract. He was hired as a special ambassador by Ronald Reagan to perform this with promise of compensation for success. You are really off base here, Susan. I'm really upset about this. Really. Let's just drop it so we can emphasize the rest. I want to say nothing more.
Okay. Okay.
Scorpio.
Well, yeah. I guess the divergence I have here is I don't see that the Republicans are really that much more, you know, a party of much integrity than the Democrats. Unfortunately, I think both parties have been co-opted by their, you know, global masters. The banking cabal seems to me runs both of these people. Mitch McConnell looks as corrupt as anyone I've ever seen. I have serious questions about Donald Trump's integrity, given the, you know, he was bailed out by the banker several times in his career. I believe he's compromised. He may have been well-intentioned. And I just don't, you know, Joe Biden is certainly a career criminal, and there's not a tiny bit of integrity in that man. He's so far into this criminal behavior that, you know, it's like being in the mafia. He doesn't have any choice. He has to keep going. And, you know, I'd be surprised if the Democrats lose the House, frankly, because in the coming election, because I think the elections have been completely co-opted now. I think that we can't trust in the integrity of the election system now.
I think that the whole system of government we've entered what is called the looting stage of capitalism. It is a period of decadence and corruption and failure, and the corruption feeds itself, stealing anything that's not nailed down for as a last ditch effort to feather its own nest before the country falls apart. So they're going to grab, it's like the last days in Venezuela, where they're going to grab everything they can before it falls apart. But I'll tell you, the Republicans have a different way of doing it, like finder's fees for the Pentagon people. Like if you can get a Pentagon contract for one of your friends, they'll give you a percentage of that. Maybe it's like 5%, maybe it's 3% or something, but you'll get a small percentage of the contract that you help negotiate. And that's a kickback that guarantees that as federal monies come in, it's being diverted to the military as opposed to coming the other way for domestic infrastructure, roads, bridges, Social Security, whatever. And that's how it's done on the Republican side. But on the Democrat side, it's just become straight theft. And they're just taking money straight out of the Treasury. And that is thievery. Terry McAuliffe had no right to receive $1 of payment for our work. And my payment was based on the investigation, identifying the monies, capturing the monies, bringing them in, taking them away from somebody who has hidden, who has stashed them in bank accounts all over the world. And it was a very difficult operation. It was extremely complicated. We had to break past a fortress like Fort Knox of protections, double blinds, custodians. We had to get the security codes. It was a complicated maneuver, but when we got the $1 trillion, I had contacted a law firm and they said, well, we want to test this. We want to see if this is actually true or not. I said, you don't mind, do you? I said, good, go do it. Within 24 hours, they came back and said, Susan, it's real. This is holy God, holy Christ. This is real money. They do have these accounts. And I knew exactly where they were. I knew the security codes to get them out. I knew the strategy. Then we had to work with DOJ to actually make the seizure of the money. But the result was we had federal tax cuts paid for. And you didn't know that the tax cuts were paid for. But literally, I could watch from Monday to Thursday to Friday, just in 1 week, how the whole thing changed. I contacted the House and the Senate Finance Committees and the chairs, Finance and Judiciary Committee. We had to be quiet because of the other 200 stolen Pentagon accounts valued at $400 billion. Let that sink in. That's real money. Every time he moves things, one year, what he does is he uses stolen accounts as collateral that are on time deposit. They're stolen Pentagon accounts on time deposit. And he uses them as collateral for oil purchasing. So then he takes the earnings from the oil purchasing at the end of the year, and he can pull out $400 million at a time, okay, in earnings from his, he's got such a massive network of collateral that after the buying and selling of oil for a year, then he turns around. One year, he bought, the federal inmate bought 21 hotels in Asia. And they were not like, you know, two-star Holiday Inns. They were all Hiltons and Sheratons. One year, he bought a satellite. And the satellite had one purpose. He has a daughter. And so that he purchased a satellite so that he could have security on his daughter's house. And he does not even allow his crew to rent out the satellite, lease it for other purposes that could make money. He just only has the satellite focused on his daughter's house 24/7, so that if anybody goes to that house, his crew knows who they are, because he's afraid that the Chinese will assassinate or kidnap her or do some damage, because they're going to try to use her to get the money from him and try to force him to hand over that money. So he did this while he's in prison, and he sleeps better at night at prison for it. I mean, this is some serious thievery that we're talking about. He's gotten very wealthy off the earnings of this money, and the $1 trillion was part of his earnings, and we took it away from him. That is separate from the $2.3 trillion. So I can tell you, we've done an amazing job, and we are entitled to payment. And Terry McAuliffe has nothing to do with it at all, has never to receive one.
Wow, what a great hour. We'll be back with hour two. Thank you, Susan. Amazing information.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill,"
yep,
on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. that time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to hour two of the event. That was quite the first hour with Susan Lindauer. One point I didn't get to make, but let me show a picture here. That's a picture from yesterday where Joe Biden is not backing away from Clinton bagman and thief Terry McAuliffe. In fact, that picture shows Terry dancing along to the chant of Let's Go Brandon, as Joe is there pointing at a little child and asking for the little child to be disrobed. So clearly Biden is in with everything. With that being said, there's a picture.
I think Biden coming is going to harm McAuliffe. Biden is so unpopular. It's so disgusting. And even bringing in the big dog, Barack Obama, isn't going to help. He was trying to be dismissive about parents being concerned about what's going on in the schools. And after the rape in the girls' room by this so-called transgender, this is a huge issue. I believe Susan's contributions are going to substantiate the upset of this corrupt Democrat figure, and that the Democratic Party is already shitting in its pants over this.
Well, Jim, we're joined by Russ Winter. I wonder if Russ has a thought on Terry McAuliffe and this race here in Virginia. I can tell you that you can kind of tell by signs. I live in Northern Virginia, and this is totally Stalingrad 2.0, and there were Biden signs everywhere in 2020 and only a handful of Trump signs. And now, in this truly blue, traitorous area, this communist communitarian area, there is an equal number of Youngkin, who's the Republican candidate. Youngkin's a decent man, a real Virginian, a family man. And there are equal number of signs. And so there are two strongholds in Virginia for the traitorous Democrats. That's Northern Virginia and Richmond. The rest of the state is overwhelmingly Republicans. So hopefully it seems as though Youngkin is really surging. they being the globalists, have every easy ability to steal the election via the Dominion software. But I guess we'll see. Youngkin is certainly surging. Russ, how are you? Are you there, Russ?
Here I am. Can you hear me?
There he is. I can hear. Can you guys hear Russ?
I'm on mute. I am on mute. I'm always on mute whenever I come on. Anyway, I was checking McAuliffe up, Terry McAuliffe on Wikipedia. You know, sometimes Wikipedia does provide some clues. You want to listen to this? Listen to this guy's background.
Lay it on us. Yeah.
Okay. He started out at when he's 20 years old, he created this DC area bank, and he merged it with another bank and became a bankster. and then he met 1979. McAuliffe met Richard Swan, a lawyer who's in charge of fundraising for Jimmy Carter, the presidential campaign in Florida. And then he married Swan's daughter, Dorothy. And then in 1991, the Resolution Trust Corporation, a federal agency, took over the assets and liabilities of Swan's American Pioneer Savings Bank. Seen the connection? Listen to this. This is real swamp type stuff. This is amazing. Yeah. Under Swan's guidance, McAuliffe purchased some of American Pioneer's real estate from the RTC. His equal partner in the deal was the Brotherhood of Electrical Workers and the National Electrical Contractors Association. They purchased real estate valued at $50 million for $38 million. He received a 50% equity stake. '76, he acquired a distressed home building company, American Heritage Homes, which is on the brink of debt. He's a looter. This guy's a he's a vulture. Classic.
Yeah,
vulture.
He's a parasite. Yep.
Yep. It's amazing. And then he built it into Central Florida's biggest home building. So he's always going to the government trough. He's always going to the Resolution Trust Corporation, all these sort of what I call vulture agencies and institutions and banks. Classic. I mean, story really has credibility to me.
Consistent with Susan's report and dissection of Terry McAuliffe, it all reinforces that he is, as you put it, a vulture at the public trough trying to benefit himself and his corrupt Democratic colleagues. It's disgusting.
Yep, that's pretty much looks that way. Angel investor in something called Global Crossing went public, sold most of his holdings for $8 million. He's always kind of creating these cross holdings and a lot of cronyism, obviously. And then he he's involved in raising campaign money to boot. I mean, this should be, these guys should never even touch the public trough at all, even come close to public office. This is really sickening that these guys are able to operate with impunity like this. Even dismissing the idea that maybe he was involved in stealing $2 trillion. I don't know anything about that, but just looking at this sort of resume that he has just really stinks.
Oh my God. And you look at, he was installed to be the henchman as the chairman of the Democratic National Party to cock block Bernie Sanders from getting the nomination he was clearly earning. And it's so dirty. It's shocking.
It says in 2013, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission investigated his company, Green Tech Automotive, and McAuliffe for visa fraud. So he was selling visas to Chinese.
Unreal. Unbelievable. Jeez.
Now, probably somebody took care of that investigation because he is tied to this political apparatus. So probably, I'm guessing, the charges sort of disappeared. That sound about right?
It sounds right to me. Scorpio, jump in.
Well, you know, this background of McCall is very interesting. And, you know, I guess I'm a little cynical here. It seems to me this guy has the resume of like Barack Obama, a resume of a man who just walks between the raindrops, the resume of a man who really, it doesn't really add up. He started his own bank at 20 years old. I don't think so. I think there's, you know, like powerful covert forces behind this man since this very beginning. So you have to wonder, you know, who this man really is. I think it goes beyond just being a swamp creature, which is certainly true. But the creation of this character, the information that Russ just said, it just really is very Barack Obama-esque.
Yeah, or Clinton-esque also. He's really almost more of a Clinton type.
And you know, rose to the pinnacle of power. In the you know, obviously there's something, another force driving this man forward. These people are certainly, this reeks of being an operative from the very, very beginning. And they just create these characters for the public to see, oh, you know, here he is, he's this and that. But his whole life is a fabrication, just like Barack Obama, just like Bill Clinton. And of course, they all connect together. And it's probably intelligence agencies that have created all these characters for the public to look at and to be the face on TV to blame for what's going on.
This guy looks like he's got a future. he looks like he's headed for the top big time. Vice president or something like that. It just fits the model of the American system.
True that.
Yeah, the globalist operative, the created character that rises to the very top. Exactly. This man does have a future. I'd be surprised if he loses the race, frankly.
He says the New York Times in 1999, I've met all my business contacts through politics. It's all interrelated. When he meets a new business contact, he continued, then I raised money from them.
Unreal. I mean, that's not how it's supposed to
influence
work.
Peddling. Yeah. Influence peddling,
yeah, exactly.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yep. Jeez.
Well, what do you think are McAuliffe's chances in Virginia? Do you think the public is catching on enough? I do not believe either Barack Obama, who received boos when he tried to dismiss the parents being involved, you know, and stand up for school boards dictating what the kids learn. And of course, this business about the rape in the girls' room is just created a boiling pot throughout Virginia. I mean, it's just shocking. I think if there's an honest count, and Scorpio will, of course, echo this, if there's an honest count, anything like an honest election, I think he's going down in flames. But I have no doubt the Democrats are going to try to steal again, just as they did at the recall election in California. Your thoughts?
Well, you know who he's running against, don't you? The former CEO of Carlyle Group. The Republican.
Glenn Youngkin was the former CEO of Carlyle Group? I didn't know that.
I was talking about that with my colleague, and she spotted that. Well, look who he's running against. He's running against another swamp creature.
Russ, that's just horrible.
And Carlyle
Group, and it's done no end of damage and siphoned off vast resources from the United States.
It's true. Yeah. I'm looking it on Wikipedia. 1995, he joined the Carlyle Group. Wow.
That's your choice, ladies and gentlemen, you Virginia voters.
Oh, jeez. I had no idea. Wow.
Scorpio, go ahead, Scorpio. Your thoughts about this latest revelation. I'm sure it reinforces your view about the corruption of both parties and the absence of real choice.
Yeah, definitely absence of real choice.
I feel empowered in my decision not to vote.
Well, I think McAuliffe going down is a good thing, even if this guy coming up is not, is a flawed creature. I mean, he's speaking up for the public, for the parents in relation to the school board. I think, as I say, if there's anything like an honest count here, McAuliffe is going down regardless of this question about the Republican candidate, Scorpio.
Well, and I think the school issue is very interesting because really what's really going on here is, you know, you have the government saying, look, you parents that speak out against the fact that their children are being essentially just, you know, spoon-fed Marxist ideology and just toxic information in their schools. It's about time, you know, that parents are finally waking up to this fact. But what they're doing, they're saying, well, if you speak out, you're a white supremacist terrorist, so shut your mouth. And I think we're just seeing a complete call for silence for the public. Like, you know, they're doing the same thing with the internet. You know, all this nonsense about, oh, Facebook, we have to reform Facebook. Facebook's becoming a platform for disinformation. Well, what they're saying is that information that they can't control is going on to the internet, and they don't like that. So the same thing with the schools, you know, they want to control the narrative in all fronts, because essentially what they're doing is extremely unpopular with the average person. And so the only way that they can move forward is to call for silence, for censorship in all realms.
Russ, would you like to reply?
Oh, I'm just going to kind of continue on to McCullough, because I got some more good stuff here. He says that he acknowledges that the success of his business dealings stem from his relationship with Bill Clinton.
There you go.
No question. That's a piece of it. And then he's credited his ties to former Congressman Dick Gephardt, who didn't he kind of quit in disgrace also?
Yep, sure did.
His Rolodex of 5,000 plus names and quote unquote, his ability to relate, personally relate to people.
Oh my God.
he probably dug into that little $2 trillion theft to just kind of go around padding people's wallets. I mean, maybe that was the whole idea of stealing all that money from the Pentagon, is just you create this giant sus fund, put somebody like this in charge of it. Or I got to believe it's got to be more than him, but he's just going to be padding people's palms constantly, endless. This might be one of the real roots of the swamp right here. I've all, you know, the whole looting mechanism that I've always kind of wondered about. So, I mean, that I don't dismiss what Susan Landier was saying about this guy.
Well, what's interesting about McAuliffe is he won one term as the governor. He was installed riding Obama's coattails in 2013, and then he was beaten in his own party by I forget whom. What the heck was it? Baby murderer, Blackface Northam. So he was disgraced and lost re-election himself, and now they're seeking to reinstall him, which is just, you know, the globalists really think that they control Virginia now. It's crazy. They have two primary areas of strength, which is Stalingrad 2.0 in Northern Virginia and around the Capitol in Richmond. Other than that, they have, well, Charlottesville too. Charlottesville's pretty small. And
you know what? McCullough is a big hero to the Democrats. Let me give you this history.
Yeah.
He was elected chairman of the National Committee, served until 2005, 2001, 2005. They were bankrupt. They were very heavily in debt. And somehow during his tenure, the DNC raised $578 million and just, you know, raised all their debt and just got, you know, very well situated financially. You know, prepare for the next stages, you know, right, the Obama years, et cetera.
Where all that, Susan may have explained where all that money came from.
Yep. Has to be. Really? There's just people just really opening up that wallets without question because they really love the Democrats.
It was raining gold coins. You're absolutely right.
Shekels. Yeah.
By the way, let me check with Russ. Is it good if we open the line to callers for the last segment? Sure. Russ, does that work for you?
Whatever you like, Jim. Your call.
Good, good, good. Well, we will do it. I'm just going to let everyone know we're going to take your calls after the break at the bottom of the hour. 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. And all of the above, everything we've been discussing is fair game. You can even bring up something unrelated, but it's better. We prefer if you're relevant to what Susan has had to say and Russ here too, especially this Virginia election and the corruption that Russ has astutely been exposing forever on Winter Watch. What other nuggets do you have for us, Russ, that you find about Terry McAuliffe, who, by the way, I meant to add, played a crucial role in the whole orchestrated event in Charlottesville, where they had, you know, he had the mayor have the Charlottesville police stand down so he could use the Virginia State Police to channel the peaceful protesters of the removal of the statue of Robert E. Lee into a violent confrontation with Antifa and Black Lives Matter members who'd been bussed in by George Soros even on the same bus, where we had this completely contrived incident involving the vehicle. It turns out there were two different cars, both Dodge Challengers. One had a racing stripe, one didn't. One had a sunroof, one didn't. Two different drivers. The 20-year-old diagnosed schizophrenic, James Field, who was supposed to have been driving the car, and a 32-year-old veteran who commands a battalion of reservists in Ohio who was actually driving the car. We have the photos of the driver, and it's clearly not James Fields. And then there were as many as three different takes of the collision, one where the collision is into the back of two vans that have been sitting there with no drivers for several minutes, another where there's no vans in the vicinity nor any vehicle whatsoever, and a third published on the front page of the New York Times where there's a black Toyota pickup truck there and stunt drivers flying through the air. This is just disgusting and further evidence of how the Democrats manipulate events, where Barack Obama legitimized all these stunts when he nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time to pave the way for Sandy Hook.
Well, and I think this shows, too, that this McAuliffe character is following the orders of his globalist masters, and he's hooked in. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do, just like Joe Biden. So I think part of the arrangement is here, as long as they follow orders for this globalist plan, the deliberate destruction of America, the transformation of the culture and the replacement of the population, then I think these people are going to be in the catbird seat. And I would be surprised if McAuliffe loses this election. I don't know anything about the election, but I think it's going to be fixed. And we'll see. We'll see.
You know, I'd like to interject that the whole Charlottesville false flag was orchestrated by a dual citizen Jewish mayor as well. Let's not forget that.
Paul Singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was outrageous. I mean, there's been one after another, and Amazon has banned all my books about these. Whether it's Sandy Hook or the Boston bombing or Charlottesville or Parkland or Orlando and Dallas or even the moon landing, though we believe that's for other reasons, namely disputing the official narrative of World War II and the mythology of the 6 million.
Well, Russ.
You seem to be doing a lot of good stuff. What are some of your latest? What else are you churning up? Russ, did you go on mute again?
Let me take a look. No, he's there. I mean, unless
you can hear me.
There he is.
Yeah, we can now. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of looking at this situation with these young men in particular getting heart inflammations because it's called myocarditis, and some of the data that's coming out on that, and it's pretty overwhelming. It's not even a debate anymore. It's no longer conspiracy theorists. There's a really way too high incidence of this myocarditis, which is a very serious heart ailment. It's like dead tissue.
You don't recover from it. You do not recover from it. Exactly.
Yeah, it's permanent damage. That's the thing people need to keep in mind. Your heart cells do not reproduce once they're damaged like that. So, yeah, it's permanent damage.
They're using the term, the Lugan Press, as I call it, is using the term mild all the time when they catch the word mild to it. And, you know, if you're getting that thing, if you're getting this at 20 years old or 25 years old, you might survive, but you're probably going to be dead by the time you're 50 if you're lucky. It's, you know, it's not something you want. It's not something you want to catch from some vaccine. And then I note that because of this problem with myocarditis, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden over the last week basically banned its use under the age of 31 in those countries. And so what do the criminals in the United States do? They okay it for 5 to 11-year-olds.
Oh, my God. It's so they're mass murderers. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's getting to be a caricature. It really is. I mean, it's the whole thing with I know, for instance, Fauci is involved in animal experiments with dogs and allowing them to be eaten by sand fleas.
Yeah.
The guy is just a caricature of evil and villainy. It's just so in your face that somehow I kind of think it's some kind of a psyop. Thinking psyop. I'm thinking some kind of like a counter narrative. It's just so ridiculous.
panel voting unanimously 17-0 in favor of shooting up kids age 5 to 11 with Pfizer, where panelist Dr. Eric Rubin says, "We're never going to learn about how safe this vaccine is unless we start giving it." I mean, that means turning the young people into guinea pigs. Doesn't he understand you do this with pilot studies before you ever put it on to ensure its safety? I mean, this is just inverting the scientific procedures and a gross violation of the Nuremberg Code. Just, this is disgusting beyond belief.
It's absolute evil because they could never get past the animal trials, Jim. Russ and Scorpio, they murder all the animals they tested on. They murder the ferrets. They murder the dogs. They murder the monkeys. You all animals that have comparable functional immune systems. This quackery, this chicken swinging arrogance that they understand genetic manipulation when they absolutely don't. The guy who created the mRNA technique, Dr. Robert Malone, has come out, risked his whole career to say that these Jew quacks are mass murdering, and yet nobody listens to the guy who understands the technology, Malone, and who says you can't be doing this. It's just outrageous. It's globalist mass murder.
Let me repeat. We're inviting callers after the break. The number 540-352-4452. Mitchell will handle your call. We're especially, I think, keen on anyone in Virginia who wants to give us a report about how they see things developing in Virginia in relation to the election to be held on Tuesday. We'd welcome your call.
Go ahead, Russ. You were going to jump in.
Yeah. Well, the point I was going to make is that they've vaccinated enough people now, because it's no longer in trials, obviously. There are plenty of people out there that have been vaccinated. You can see the outcomes. And there's just this enormous increase of excess deaths in this sort of 15 to 40-year-old group, both in Europe and in the United States. And it's this heart inflammation causing much of it.
Well said.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
No, Russ is there.
Okay, good, good, good. I couldn't see an image for him. I think most of the audience is probably so stunned by everything Susan was reporting than that Russ has indirectly been confirming that they're just taken aback. I think it leaves you virtually speechless to appreciate the enormity of the corruption here. And I tell you, the Democratic Party seems to have this as their area of specialization. Corruption, looting the Republic, and stealing elections. That's their resume. Russ, your thoughts?
Oh, I mean, yeah, this sort of gives you the mechanism of how they do it. I mean, you had to suspect it all along. You know, you knew they were getting money from somewhere. And so that really ties together pretty well with this looting operation she spoke about. So, I mean, I would kind of like to hear her talk a little bit more about some of the mechanics a little more. So in the fundamentals of it all, because she was kind of dwelling more on, well, we've found these guys, we found the money, we're trying to get it back, all that kind of stuff. But also it would be interesting to just go through the mechanics of how she thinks that it was all stolen, how they stole it, who they pad, how they facilitate the distribution of the money, and they do the political capture. Because that's kind of seems like what this operation was all about, is political capture. And I keep alluding to the fifth column takeover of the country, and I've always kind of wondered, how do they do it? How do you take over a whole country and install a bunch of kakistocrats everywhere? Well, now we have two kakistocrats running for governor of Virginia with each other. So it's probably done at the Republican end as well.
Russ, well, your expose
that the Republican was a member of the Carlyle Group is a bit disconcerting.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
Maybe, I wonder how deeply he was involved there, but it's troubling on its face. I sure agree.
Russ, I sent you a link to Susan's 34-minute video where she breaks down how her and her team and attract it all down and displays some of the canceled checks and correspondence involved with this power broker criminal overlord who's in prison but yet still runs a criminal empire. It's pretty insane. The video's
so
pretty.
So this guy must have given a lot of the money to these political operatives. Is that how it
no
works?
Doubt. Evidently, yeah,
this unnamed prison guy who's serving a 30-year term. That seems a little funny that we wouldn't know his name.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess she didn't want to mention it. She says in the video because there's federal prosecutors who are trying to go after him in other ways, and they don't want to give him the heads up. So.
Yeah, well, that's something that kind of bothers me there. It makes it hard to verify if we don't know who the guy is.
Right.
Good well, point. And all the key players have to know who the hell he is anyway. So, you know, probably, the only one who doesn't is we, the public, alas.
Well, James Fetzer is going to find out.
James Fetzer will.
The legendary James Fetzer will get that name for us.
So, speaking of the black tranny, Russ ran a story.
I bet your buddy James Files knows who he is.
You know, I had to explain to him, I like this guy personally tremendously. We hit it off so well. But I had to explain to him how, based on all the collaborative research I've done on the medical evidence of ballistics and so forth, that he is actually the designated second gunman, that he wasn't actually a shooter there, notwithstanding, you know, his protestations and the crimp shell cartridge and all that. I certainly felt an obligation to level with the guy. Now, whether we ever have another social encounter is another question, but he's sure a damn interesting guy. And he made the point, Russ, that once a government issues a lie, it's locked into it, that it will never give it up.
Your call has been forwarded to voicemail. Please leave a message after the tone.
That seems to be the case with JFK, 9/11, and the like. You know, here you got Biden claiming he can't release more JFK material, in part because of the pandemic, which is absurd. It's not as though National Archives hasn't had nearly 60 years to sort all this out, but also on grounds of national security, which is the tell, because if the official Warren Commission account were correct, there is no national security aspect to the case.
Well, we've got our first caller from area code 210. Why don't you tell us your name and where you're calling from, and what would you like to ask, Russ?
Yeah, this is Bruce in Texas. How y'all doing?
Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Okay, let me turn it down a bit so you don't get an echo from my speaker here.
Great.
The Charlottesville, you know, I don't know. There's a couple of different theories on it. I think Jim has a theory that it was, you know, fake as far as the lady dying. What was her name? Heather Heyer? Was it the big woman?
The big fat chick, yeah.
Yeah, the big whale, yeah.
Bruce,
but, you know, I saw... go ahead.
Died the following day of a heart attack, and the woman, her mother, Susan Breaux, turns out to be played by the same crisis actor who played the role of Donna Soto, the mother of a teacher at Sandy Hook, Victoria Soto, and was a first name plaintiff in the lawsuits against Alex Jones. I mean, this is just insulting beyond belief.
It's absurd, man.
Yeah, just throw maybe some wood on the fire, and I don't know where y'all want to go with it, but I was looking at video on the street level, you know, and there was a lot of yarmulkes running around there with, you know, volunteers, EMTs with yellow vests and little yarmulkes on, you know, when they were doing CPR on her, and that was a pretty crowded street there. And have y'all ever seen the movie The International, made about 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm. I saw.
Yeah, great movie. You know how it starts, where the one of the agents gets slapped with a heart attack dart.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And collapses. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they picked out a victim. You know, it's gonna take, you know, get this goy, you know, to take the fall and slap her on the butt with a heart attack gun, and there she, you know, drops dead, and there you got your victim, and you got your whole narrative to push. You know, the evil Nazis. You know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's all I had. But good show so far. Susan Lindauer is really a treasure, man. She put up with a lot. How long was she in jail for? Like a couple of years?
Oh, she was incarcerated. She was put in solitary confinement. She was treated extremely abusively by the government. I mean, just outrageous. And, you know, she even had been a liaison to Saddam Hussein and reported how he offered to buy 1 million cars a year for the next 10 years if the U.S. would not attack Iraq. And as she was leaving, he added, and if that's not enough, make it 20. I mean, just think where the U.S. would be if we'd, instead of attacking Iraq, had accepted Saddam's offer. It would have been a bonanza for Detroit and for the country, the nation's economy. because automobile manufacturing is one with great multiplier effects, because you're buying, you know, tires and stereos and leather and upholstery and all that. So it really has broad benefits for the economy, unlike military defense spending, which is so specialized that it's a relatively few corporations and companies that make a lot of money out of our national defense budget, sad to say.
Well, Jim, Russ, and Scorpio, we have two callers from the same area code 518. I guess let's start with 518-894. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, and then we'll go to the next 518. So please go ahead. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, they're not. I'm not hearing anything. Supposedly, is either one of the 518s, are either one of you there?
Mitchell, did we lose our callers from the 518 area code?
Mitchell had to step away for a second, but I'm looking and they're both on, they're both active and I'm not seeing them as muted. So I don't understand why we're not hearing them. I'll give it one more shot and then otherwise we'll go back to Russ. Either 518, are you there? Okay, I guess not. Russ, I'd like to ask you, you ran a story on October 23rd that is just absurd. The headline reads, "Blaming the Absurd on White People and Heterosexuals." And the corrupt CDC, the globalist chicken-swinging mind rape that is the CDC, claims that one of the factors driving the Southern HIV epidemic, it could be the apparent bigotry of Southerners. Issues such as homophobia and transphobia, racism and general discomfort, that's causing these homosexuals and transsexuals to go bareback, which means no condom. So yeah, of course, the decent, white, stable, normal human being is somehow causing these mental defectives to blast each other in the rear end with no protection. Of course, it's the white racist doing it. I mean, well, Russ, how can this
read the part about the other CDC study that came out. So the first they proclaim they blame it on bigotry. And then they do another study, which does a survey of college age students. They divided them into homosexuals, bisexuals, and heterosexuals, and asking them, "You got those percentages?"
I know.
There?
I can read it. Here's
just go through it because my page is a little sticky right now. I'm kind of having a little bit of computer problem. Just go through that.
Okay. The article reads: in a study of college students, the question of rape was asked. The results show that homosexuals are raped 329% more often than heterosexuals. The prevalence of having been forced to have sexual intercourse, a.k.a., was 7.2%, the median, among heterosexual students, 23.7% among homosexual students, and 22.6% among bisexual students. If there is a rape culture epidemic involving heterosexuals, it sure isn't being reported or showing up in the CDC study. Among homosexuals and bisexuals, though, it is another story. The CDC study was extended to include dating violence. It assessed having been hit, slapped, or physically hurt on purpose by their boyfriend or girlfriend during the 12 months before the survey. The prevalence of dating violence was 10.2% among heterosexual students, 27.5% among homosexual students, and 23.3% among bisexual students. And those who had sexual intercourse with four or more persons, 11.1% violence among heterosexuals, 29.9% among homosexuals, 28.2% among, I mean, so clearly.
And then the drugs also about seven times more prevalent.
Oh, yeah. More serious drug use was also heavily skewed towards homosexuals and bisexuals in the study. Use of any form of cocaine, powder, crack, freebase one or more times during their life. 4.1% heterosexual students, 23.3% homosexuals, 17.7% among bisexuals. I mean, the facts, ma'am.
Just the facts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Unreal. I mean, heroin use, 1.8% among heterosexual students, 17%.
But that's because of racism.
Yeah, it's racism, man. Of course. Yeah,
and homophobia. Yeah. Homophobia. Yeah, yeah. So So basically, you're homophobic because you notice that they engage in all these behaviors about four times more often than straight people. Then if you point that out, you're homophobic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so unless you like that kind of lifestyle, if you like that kind of lifestyle, then, you know, live and let live, I guess. But to be called a homophobic because you sort of don't live your life that way.
Yeah, that's this is why America, as in Weimar Republic, the international chicken swinger tried to do this a century ago in Germany, and they were taken care of with no delicacy, you know. And instead, the globalists are trying again here, and you know, where they prop up these fringe elements, the literal flotsam and jetsam of society, the self-loathing, self-destructive homosexual, the self-loathing, self-destructive, mentally defective trannies. I mean, and they're propped up like they should be the elite of society. In reality, they're simply the flotsam and jetsam that should be marginalized because they have no basis being involved with the great middle of decent, hardworking people of any color. It's just absurd.
I think a lot of it is driven, Giuseppe, by the fact that Barack Obama is a gay president married to a man with breast implants.
Right.
I don't know why we're getting the echo, but there it is. I think he wants to normalize sexual, bisexual, transsexual weirdness so they feel normal. I think that's the attempt, the motivation here. It's bizarre, but it also generates all kinds of concerns and controversy. It's very divisive in society, needless to add.
What I think, too, this sort of ideology represents a deliberate attempt to destroy the foundations of America and to soften the country up to be conquered by one means or another.
Well, you know, the way I look at it is if what you do in your bedroom, if you want to rape your date,
Michael here.
Stand by, caller.
If you want to rape your date and take drugs and poppers and rape your date and. Then that's your business, but don't blame me for it. That's my big thing. Once you start blaming me for your behavior, then I have a problem. Other than that, do whatever you want in the bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. Take responsibility for your deviant lifestyle and don't blame.
Rape, of course, is illegal, but I mean, consensual sexual activities between adults, who cares? Different strokes for different folks.
Right.
We got a caller. We got a caller, Giuseppe.
Yeah, two callers, plus Daryl Wayne's joined via Skype. I mean, StreamYard. Let's start with 518. Are you there, 518? Please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
I think. You talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your name?
Hello?
Where are you calling from?
Okay. Can I go by mindset? Can I go by mindset? Please?
Yeah, go whatever you want to do. Yeah.
All right. So mindset's my name, and New York is where I reign. And anyways, the point is Jim Fetzer, I was on the show. I was listening to the Mike Rivero show yesterday, and I called a guy who was claiming that he was basically trying to give you, like, bad credit. In that, I don't know who the caller was, but not Mike Rivero, a guest caller. And he was mentioning that that you can get a little bit fired up with people and you burn a lot of bridges. Now, I just want to point out that that's what's being said. So I think that they're trying to do a character assassination on you, hardcore, for obvious reasons. You know what I mean? So they're trying to spread that in the truth community. So I just want you to be aware of that. So it's perfectly fine that you get pissed off at people. Honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just I want you to be aware of who, when you get into arguments, who is it you get into an argument with, and why are you getting into argument with them? You know what I mean? If you're not already thinking like that, I just want to point that out to you so you can understand, you know what I mean? Just be aware of, because there's a lot of shills in this truth movement, and I'm seeing all of them all the time. So I'm very skeptical of people in the first place.
Okay, go ahead, Jim.
What I want to talk about. I've been in
several cases involving Sandy Hook, and making perhaps some impact with a lot of evidence that they don't want to hear, because the courts are just assuming that 20 kids and 6 adults died that day in Newtown, Connecticut, when all the evidence is against it. So they just want to pursue without even addressing the crucial issue that underlies I have a motion to intervene in the bankruptcy with Remington in Alabama, and a motion to intervene in in the trial against Alex Jones and other cases. So I'm doing my best to expose a chicanery in the legal system. So I'm very unsurprised with what you're telling me. I think it fits in the situation that if there's a chance I'm going to make a difference, they're going to try to cut me off in the mind of the public. Thank you very much for mentioning this.
Okay, we've got another caller, Michael from North Carolina. Join the discussion. What would you like to say?
Hey, guys, Michael here. I was listening today, and when you started reading that story of Russ's, I had a personal experience related to that. There's a popular women's chorus here in town, and it's about, 80 to 100 women. And I was doing sound for them for several years, and I'd say about three quarters of them are lesbians. And so they're super, super leftist people, you know, totally woke. And they always handle some sort of leftist issue when they do one of their concerts. And in this particular concert, it was domestic violence, right? So at the first, they had a little monologue about domestic violence, and then they asked for a show of hands. Like, how many people in here have been subjected to domestic violence in your adult life, and or have a close relative or something like that? And so I'm watching the choir, and like three-fourths of the choir raised their hand. So I'm thinking, geez, you let me.
I have another thing to mention. I just want to point that out.
Okay, stand by.
Geez, you lesbians are all getting beat up by your partners. Why don't you try a man for a change?
Yeah. They're not very introspective, are they?
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're joined by Daryl Wayne. Daryl, how are you? Any thoughts for Russ?
Oh, hi. I apologize. I got tied up here. I didn't realize what the time was. But yeah, it's always great to be with Russ. I'm sorry for being tardy. At least I'm hopefully not retardy. So,
well, hopefully you weren't tied up by your partner and got beat up.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, the purple hair beaver bumpers, they have issues, you know. So it's just amazing how transparently inside all this is, actually, when you you know, you find a political avenue where you can make other people responsible for your decisions, you're going to game that if you've been Judaized. You know,
yeah,
and that's what's going on. Everybody gets to pass off and game their neighbor because they get to be responsible for your choices, whatever that might be. So, you know, I don't know. It's a crazy thing. You know, I think people come to terms with right now that you allowed them to live with you, and they're not going to let you live with them.
There you go.
And you know, just a couple of fastballs across the plate. Russ, how are you? Great to hear you.
Good.
Yeah.
The caller mindset wanted to make one more point from New York. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to point out, have you guys heard the Felipe guy from, the Stu Peter show from like last week? He was supposed to be this French billionaire dude who's got the three or four data, got all the information from 9/11 from 2001, 2003. And then I think it's also either all the information up until then, or I think it's 2015 up until October of this year. And he's got all the election stuff. He's got all the, he's got the COVID-19. He's got everything, all the crimes and that, plus more. And on top of that, he's a French billionaire, so he's in France, so he can't be indicted or anything. And he's not putting anything out there in the open of the internet, like Julian Assange. He's leaving it open for the public, so kind of like a FOIA almost. If you want to go look, and you can go find it yourself. You know what I mean? Huh. And so he's asking Donald Trump to join him. And if Donald Trump joins him, he'll have Donald Trump's back, and he'll be able to make sure that if he runs for president in 2024, he'll make him win. So I want to put that out, and I think that Julian Assange might.
Donald Trump is not going to help him with any of that. He's not going to be any help at all.
He's extending an arm to.
I hadn't heard any of that. Jim or Scorpio, had you heard that about this?
Well,
French
he certainly looks impressive on the face of it, and Stu Peters is doing a brilliant job. There are a couple of caveats here, however. For example, he said he'd lost his daughter in the truck attack in Nice, but that was a completely fake staged event.
Oh, really? He said that?
Where they had seconds in the street.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It was slipping my open barely that raised questions, you know, just red flags. But I thought the gist of
that definitely does.
It sounded very plausible, but I think we can't take anything for granted. We'll just need to dig a little deeper.
Well, we're down to the final 2 minutes. Jim, how do you want to handle it?
Well, I think it's just super having Russ back again, and I'd like to invite you and Scorpio to give us your final thoughts, and then Russ, Scorpio, what are your thoughts about today's show?
Well, I just think we need to be able to verify claims that are made, and, you know, I just see quite clearly that we have a lot of created characters that are being masqueraded around on the stage for the public to look at who are protected by their globalist masters for all the crimes they commit, just like the Clintons and Countless McAuliffe, countless others. This is part of the way the game is played.
Giuseppe, yours?
Well, Russ will be back next month, as he is every month, on Operation Scorpio in the event. Winterwatch.net is a must-read daily news aggregation site. Russ, give you the final word.
I hope that people are listening to this, or should be listening to this, notice that what a minesweeper session this was. We're like minesweepers, you know, adding extra color to these situations, important situations. And then to wrap it up with Jim spotting this guy's East France hoopah, pretty takes the cake.
All right, next week, Wednesday. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.